On November 7th, voters in the city of Portage will pick a new mayor and fill three seats on the city council. Last Wednesday, WMUK and Western Michigan University's Institute for Government and Politics invited the candidates to a forum at the Portage District Library. WMUK's Gordon Evans began by asking for opening statements by city council members Patricia Randall and Nassim Ansari, who are running to replace outgoing mayor Pete Strozdas.
Good evening. My name is Patricia Randall, and I first ran for Portage City Council 8 years ago to make a difference, and I have. Today, fair and equitable property taxes have been achieved. Filing a FOIA for your assessments is history. Technology is wall-to-wall in City Hall. Customer services have been expanded to single-stream recycling, additional leaf and brush pickups, and our summer concert series. We have eliminated a duplicate HR department and additional and added police and fire. And all this was done without a tax increase. I listened and I delivered.
Nassim Ansari. Other candidate for mayor, you have 30 seconds for your opening statement.
Good evening. My name is Nassim Ansari. My common goal has always been to serve my community. So when the Portage City Council elected me to a leadership role as mayor pro tem, I gladly accepted it. It is natural that I'm motivated to continue leading this great community as mayor. With more than 20 years of experience in my areas of private and public sector, I have represented you first as a member on city and county boards, then as your elected county commissioner, then again as your city councilman.
Thank you.
And finally,
thank you.
As your mayor.
Candidates now for city council. We will begin with Chris Burns. You have 30 seconds for your opening statement.
Thank you. My name is Chris Burns, and I am a first-time candidate for Portage City Council. 30 seconds is hardly enough time to get to know anybody, so I'll use this time just to thank WMUK and Western Michigan University's Institute on Government and Politics for hosting this candidate forum. As a part-time instructor at Western, I certainly appreciate all the benefits that accrue to our community from having that great university there. And so in closing, I'll just say today is a good day to be a Bronco. Thank you.
Claudette Reed, you have 30 seconds for your opening statement.
My name is Claudette Reed. I have been on the Portage City Council for 12 years. I would describe myself and my role on Portage City Council as being transparent, independent, hardworking, and curious. I'm transparent because it's important that the processes are available to the citizens as we go through them. Independent, I'm not part of any political party, but more importantly, I'm an independent thinker, and I think that that's important in this. I'm very hardworking. I make sure that I do all of the homework that's necessary to...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Terry Urban, you have 30 seconds for your opening statement.
Hi, I'm Terry Urban. Even though I've been doing this for 20 years, I'm not much of a politician. If you pick up my campaign literature, you won't see any campaign slogans, any campaign promises on any particular platform. What you will see is a few things that I'm proud of, that I've accomplished, and a promise to make the best decisions that I can for all of the city of Portage. And the one thing I pride myself on is telling you the truth, not some political platitude or promise, even if it's not what you want to hear. So thank you.
Lori Knapp, 30 seconds for your opening statement.
My new voice on council will be backed by years of relevant experience and knowledge. I practice law, specializing in property transactions and development. I have long-standing community leadership experience, most importantly right here in Portage, where I'm past president of the Portage Community Center, and I'm currently co-chair of the city's Portage Review right in City Hall. To me, Portage has matured. It's now time to proactively manage our growth, plan for our seniors, and build community engagement. I'm ready to be part of a team that leads Portage forward.
Tim Earle, 30 seconds for your opening statement.
I think Portage is a great place to live, and I want to ensure that it stays that way while also evolving to keep up with the times and changing demographics. I'll bring a fresh new perspective, but also experience based on 8 years as a naval officer, including a combat tour, 10 years working in building and fire codes, and 4 years on the Portage Park Board, and now the chair. I'm ready to be your advocate to make Portage an even better place to live. Thank you.
And before we get to questions, we do have recorded statements from the two candidates who could not be here tonight. We'll start with Phil Stinchcomb.
Hey, Portage voters. My name is Phil Stinchcomb. I've lived in Portage since 1997 with my wife, Pam. We chose to raise our three children in Portage because of the schools and the high quality of life that it offers. I love Portage, and I want to see our city and people grow and prosper. That's why I'm running for Portage City Council. I work for a small business selling West Michigan and beyond manufacturers. I understand the importance of manufacturing jobs. I also know the negative impact on businesses and consumers in our community when regulations and taxes become overbearing. I will fight for low taxes to improve city services like infrastructure such as roads, sewer, and water, so companies will invest in our people with good-paying jobs. Having experience serving on a county board, I believe I have a unique set of experiences and knowledge that would allow me to work within the system to always do that which is in the best interest of Portage while still doing what is best for the region. Thanks for giving me a minute of your time. I believe Portage is the best price for your dollar. There is no place like home. I'm Phil Stinchcomb.
And now from Jim Stefanak, who also could not be here tonight.
Hello, I'm Jim Stefanak, and I'm eager to serve you on the Portage City Council. I'm sorry I couldn't join you, but over a year ago, I promised my wife a special trip for our 25th wedding anniversary, and I always keep my promises. That's true for my promise to help make Portage even better. Here's my three-part plan. One, new jobs. Our employment and tax base are solid, but I want Portage to look forward, to expand our jobs base and assist small businesses so we can rely less on our big employers and retail. Two, more fun. People embrace communities that are rich in culture, recreation, and entertainment. Portage has much to be proud of. I believe we can do more. Let's improve and expand what we already have and develop a walkable downtown Portage. And number three, fair taxes. Portage boasts a low tax rate. To keep it that way, we need to attract new investments, businesses, and residents. Let's put our taxes to work fairly and efficiently, enhancing the quality of life for all. New jobs, more fun, fair taxes. These are my promises for a great Portage community now and for the future. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to questions. We've had a couple of which have come in from the audience already. We will begin with the candidates for city council, and we'll start with Claudette Reed on this question, which asked about the Portage citizens voting against consolidated dispatch and then the city council passing a plan to pay for it, despite the fact that Portage citizens had rejected the plan, which was on the ballot previously. Claudette Reed, you have 1 minute to give your thoughts. Is this the right thing for the Portage City Council to do?
Thank you. I am on the Consolidated Dispatch Board, and the election that we had in May was not an election about whether or not to consolidate dispatch, 911 dispatch. It was an election about how to pay for it. And obviously, the citizens of Kalamazoo County did not want to have a fee placed on their phones. The City Council of Portage decided to go forward with consolidated dispatch a couple of years ago, and we have been working very hard to be able to come up with a plan that would allow us to do this. The consolidated dispatch has come up with a method to be able to move forward in order to get that plan instituted, and then we will look at how we're going to have funding in a sustainable way so that we are going to be able to handle doing the funding long term. We recognize that the citizens do not want a fee on their phones, and so we're looking at other options far as funding.
Thank you. Terry Urban, same question for you regarding Portage citizens voting against the fee for consolidated dispatch and City Council approving a plan to pay for it.
As Mrs. Reed said, the decision was made by City Council a couple of years ago to go forward with consolidated dispatch. We worked very hard to negotiate a good deal, and I hate to use those words in these times, for the City of Portage and push back on the governance of that body. The Consolidated Dispatch Board that was created, and Claudette's part of, decided to put a millage election on the ballot in order to pay for consolidated dispatch. That was rejected by the voters, and that's fine. As she said, they decided that that wasn't the way they wanted to pay for it. We looked for another alternative, and city management brought it to us. It actually results in, right now, us spending a little bit less money than we do now for our dispatch, but the best advantage going forward is when we move to enhance 911 and have to put out the money for that process.
Thank you. Lori Knapp, you also have 1 minute to answer this question regarding Portage citizens rejecting the fee for consolidated dispatch and the City Council approving a new plan to pay for it.
I think Claudette and Terry have summed up the position of the City of Portage pretty well on this, and I concur. I think that what the city has done has been very responsible. It has allowed the city to start consolidation, and I think it has also allowed for future streamlining of services, especially with technology as we advance. I think it's an example of how we can work together in the region and work on collaboration, consolidation, cooperation. We don't operate in a vacuum in Portage, nor does Kalamazoo, nor does Mattawan, and I think that there are a lot of ways that we can all work together to be more efficient, to help our citizens, because we are all in this together, and we can rise and fall and support and enhance each other. Thank you.
Tim Earle.
So you've heard from our sitting council members on clarification on exactly what the ballot initiative was, so I won't rehash that. I was there for some of those discussions. I researched this issue quite a bit, actually, because I do attend council meetings now, hopefully in preparation for this, but as a concerned citizen. So I saw what they were looking at. I think consolidation can be a very good thing in some instances, and this is an example of that. Communities across the country are having to update to enhance 911. I won't get into the details of what that is, but it improves response time in a lot of ways with technology. We're not there yet. Most communities actually in Michigan are not. We'd have to pay for that. That's a really expensive technology upgrade, equipment upgrade. As being part of consolidated dispatch, we're going to be able to share that cost with the other communities that have joined us. So in the long run, we are actually going to be saving quite a bit of money by not having to go our own road. So I hope that clarifies. Thank you.
Let's go to Chris Burns. Same question. 1 minute on Portage citizens voting against the fee for consolidated dispatch and city council approving a different payment method.
Great. Thank you, and appreciate the question. So I'll just start by saying that I'm an advocate for consolidated dispatch, and I believe Kalamazoo County Sheriff Rick Fuller, when he talks about the benefits that will accrue to public safety from that particular arrangement in our county. That said, the funding mechanism that was rejected, as the other candidates mentioned, related to a user fee going on people's cell phone or any telephone charge. And I work in public finance to a certain extent with my professional degree, and I'm a CPA. And the funding mechanism didn't make an entirely lot of sense to me personally. So we have these capital improvements that are needed to upgrade technology so that we can enhance our public safety. That means we can take text messages, we can take all kinds of different communications coming in to public safety and respond to those. So there's technology improvements needed. That's a lump sum payment up front, but what we were proposing was an increase sort of potentially into perpetuity on people's cell phones. So the funding mechanism was difficult, but I think
Thank
the
you.
Idea is sound.
Thank you. Let's hear from the candidate for mayor. We'll start with Nassim Ansari on this question.
Okay, thank you. I was the only candidate who voted against this in line with the wishes of our citizens. The citizens of Portage had already rejected the funding plan by voting against the millage proposal that was brought in May. I'm here to represent the interest of the citizens of Portage. And as I can see, I look at the cost, I look at the numbers. When it's going to cost us more when we are going to convert from VHF to 800 mega system to promote interoperability between agencies within the county. The county, the Consolidated Dispatch Authority does not have a long-term plan. This is only a five-year plan, and it may not sustain as long as they are asked, as they want, as they are saying that it is going to. So I think we've got the best employees. We have already invested in Portage 911 system. It is the best in the county. There is no need us to invest anymore. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Randall, same question for you on funding for consolidated dispatch.
This council spent a lot of time educating itself and educating its citizens about the whole consolidated dispatch concept 2 years ago, and we opted at that time to get into it. The funding mechanism failed with the voters, but not the desire of this council and of our citizens to go forward. I'm going to liken it to a TV. You can say you have a TV and you see them at people's curbsides. They're 25 years old. They look very different than the TVs of today. That is the difference between the technology that we are advancing to if we go with a consolidated dispatch. We're not only consolidating, but we're much more upgrading to the system that we have. We are one of the last counties in the entire state to consolidate. I believe we are stronger together and that consolidation will save the taxpayers of Portage thousands and thousands of dollars.
We have a couple questions now about the Portage senior center issues from the audience. Patricia Randall, actually, you're going to go first on this one. We'll start with the candidates for mayor. Are there plans to expand within the next couple of years, and will the city be able to help fund the expansion?
This is one of my top three objectives. 3 years ago, we moved my in-laws up here, and I really got a close look at what the senior center offered, and I saw how busy it was and how we really needed more space for our seniors. We approved $144 million for the children of our community, and yet we have turned down three ballot proposals for the seniors. I am personally going to go out on an ask and ask the people of our community to fund this. We have a lot of wealthy people that have contributed $70 million to the city of Kalamazoo. I think that those same people that do live in Portage and have businesses in Portage, if asked and they really believe in the program, would be willing to fund a new senior center. We had architectural plans, and the cost to rebuild is $5.3 million. The cost to renovate is $4.7 million. The city already has the property, and I think it would be well spent. Our senior population will double in the next 10 years. So I think it's important.
Nassim Ansari.
I believe in the public-private partnership, and I think if we work with our with the private sector, we will be able to do it. The Portage Senior Center actually provides programs and opportunities that promote personal growth, health, friendship, and independence for adults aged 50 and older. I think we do need to help our senior citizens. As the elder population is going to grow, we will need more help. And as far as the funding is concerned, it can be done. And city already has plans. We have already received, as I speak, you know, we have received a plan from one of the consultants, and we are working on it. So we are working towards that. Thank you.
We'll go to the candidates for city council. We'll start with Terry Urban on this round. Portage Senior Center, are there plans to expand within the next couple of years? And will the city be able to help fund the expansion?
There are plans. They have been recently developed with some architectural renderings, some concepts. As Mrs. Randall pointed out, there are two plans, one to expand and renovate and one to build a completely new building. Those have just been come to the current council for our consideration review, but both of them depend on a public-private partnership. Both of them are going to depend on us finding donors to help us fund those projects. We anticipate the city participating perhaps 50% in that. We're hoping that we can find public philanthropic dollars to help us with the rest of it. One of my major disappointments over time has been the fact that in my first election in 1995, the first millage for a senior center expansion failed. There were seven candidates for it, one against it.
Thank you.
And my time is
Thank
up.
You.
Thank you.
Lori Knapp.
One of my goals as city councilor is to help manage the resources for our seniors as the city progresses. As Patricia Randall pointed out, the population is going to double in the next few years in our seniors. We need to make sure they're looked after. That means housing, that means resources, that means transportation, and that means a senior center that works for the next generation of seniors. I have briefly seen the plans. I think it's an exciting thing to work toward, and I absolutely believe that a public-private partnership or purely private funding is the only way that we're going to be able to make it happen. I want to make sure, though, that this is a senior center that's adaptable for the needs in the next 20, 30 years. As we know, the current model of senior center is getting old and outdated. It's very usable now, but let's make sure that the new one has the availability for things that seniors are going to be attracted to in the next 20 years. Thank you.
Tim Earle, same question on the Portage Senior Center plans to expand, and will the city be able to help fund that expansion?
So I talked about changing demographics in my opening statement, and that's part of it, the aging population. I think you've all probably seen the new assisted living centers being built, the existing ones in town expanding. I mean, that's because our population is aging. So, yes, we do need to invest in senior services across the board, and our senior center is part of that. It's already an excellent accredited senior center. They went through a difficult process there and did an excellent job. I talked to the director, Kim Phillips, about that a little bit because Parks and Rec and Senior Services fall under the same director, and you know, they put a lot of work into that, and it's more about the programs. So the programs, I think, are where they need to be. The facilities, maybe, are what we really need to focus. So I'm going to agree with Nassim, Terry, and others who talked about public-private partnership. We need to pony up some money as a city, but we also need to go out there and get some buy-in from local organizations and get them to help fund it. Thank you.
Chris Burns.
Thank you. Yes. So as a candidate, one of the things I'm most excited about is advocating for our seniors, and I think this would be a great opportunity for an engaged, enthusiastic new councilperson to take on some leadership and help lead this process. And let's talk about a similar dynamic that's going on in my professional life right now. So I work at Greenleaf Trust, and I'm part of a group that helps to invest our clients' money, and we have some very philanthropically minded investors at our firm. And what we're looking to do is exactly what's been sort of proposed here, is a public-private partnership to help get some workforce housing developed in Kalamazoo. So that's housing that will work for people who are making about the median income. And I could see that as a model for philanthropically minded capital here at the Senior Center as well. And I think my background as a CPA and working in the investment community could be a great benefit to that effort. So thank you.
Claudette Reed, question on the Portage Senior Center plans to expand and the city's ability to help pay for that expansion.
Thank you. A year ago, in October of 16, the Parks Department let a contract to Bice and Associates, and they have been held. They have been holding focus groups, looking at what the services are within the senior center, looking at what the vision is. So this is not just something that has come up very quickly, but they've been working for a full year to pull together the plan. As was stated, we just received a copy of the plan and some of the potential renderings of what that might look like. As far as anticipating what the funding is, the council has not had a chance to be able to discuss this as a group, and so I don't really know how the funding is going to come forward with this. Certainly, we do have the opportunity to provide some funding, and having a public-private partnership would be a really good way to go forward with this. But at this point,
thank you.
We don't know.
Thank you. We'll move on to our next question. We'll begin with the candidates for mayor, with Nasim Ansari first. This question comes from the Institute of Government and Politics at Western Michigan University. What do you think is the most important economic development issue facing Portage, and what do you propose to address it?
I think... as far as economic development, I'm going to address to the challenge that we are facing to continue with the growth and the progress in economic development that we have had in the last few years. That is going to be important. The other part of the economic development that I see is that we'll have to lower our taxes to attract more investment to our city. And as you can see, that other communities are lowering their taxes, so we are going to be facing the competition from other communities as well. So that will be part of that. So we are going to maintain, as far as retain businesses, retain investment, and then continue to develop that. That's where I'll be going.
Tricia Randall.
I think the most economic development issue facing Portage is our retail corridor on Westnage. It comprises 27% of our revenue. Buying trends of people are changing. People are ordering more things online, including groceries. So we are going to have to do something about our bricks and mortar businesses before they all shut down. And a lot of it's out of our control, as a lot of them are nationally owned chains. I've already talked to some developers just in casual conversation, and we'll just pick the Crossroads Mall because that's our biggest part of our retail corridor. And what other communities have done successfully is to interdisperse both housing, retail, and restaurants into walkable communities. It's all about placemaking. It's they take something from you, we've got to be proactive with our zoning and develop something that's even better. And this will attract both millennials who like to go out for every cup of coffee and seniors who like to walk to places.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lori Knapp, we'll start with you with the candidates for Portage City Council on the same question. What do you think is the most important economic development issue facing Portage, and what do you propose to address it?
This is a question that I'm talking about a lot, because I am advocating that Portage needs to proactively manage our growth. And a big part of that, and the single biggest development issue that I see, is not development so much, it's redevelopment. It's, as Patricia Randall has pointed out, we have a lot of aging bricks and mortar and a lot of aging land that is not being used for the best use of the citizens and the businesses. We need to attract new business. We need to attract new people. By investing with private partnerships, collaboration, we have an opportunity to redevelop and make the city an attractive, sustainable community that's either through more walkability, through placemaking, and it's all about what's in the future for us if we don't address this. Thank you.
Tim Earle, same question on the most important economic development issue facing Portage and what you propose to address it.
Well, Patricia and Lori hit the nail on the head, so it's great to know that we're all on a similar page on this. It's an obvious issue, empty retail space. And we can certainly try, and we need to try, invest in infrastructure to make it more attractive. But at the end of the day, it's likely to get worse before it gets better. We can't control national chains choosing, you know, which stores they shutter. So what do we do with that real estate? We should be open to working with developers with innovative concepts we maybe haven't seen in this particular region as far as mixed-use developments. Again, Patricia alluded to some of that. So that's what we need to look at. The mall is a good point. I grew up in Detroit near Northland Mall. It's very first indoor mall in America, closed a few years ago. You know, they put in a bid to try to become Amazon's new HQ. It's a long shot. But what they said was, you know, where else are you going to find 100-plus acres owned by one owner? So, you know, if worst comes to worst with Crossroads, you know, we need to leverage that and tell people, you know, what can we do with this large parcel?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Burns, same question.
Thank you. Yeah, so I believe that the most important economic issue we're facing is that we need to be able to attract high-wage jobs. And to do that, there's sort of two models, I think, of thought on how you can do that. One is you want to have the lowest possible tax rates, and that's going to encourage business investment. But I actually think it's the other way around. I think we need to create a community where workers feel like they've got a home here, and those are going to be the folks that attract business owners and business to be here. So how do you do that? Well, some of my fellow council members are of a similar mind to me. I think we need more placemaking, more mixed-use development, and better walkability in our city. So in Portage, our walk score is 18. I don't know if anyone knew that. 18, and a one-point increase in a walk score actually associates with a $700 to $3,000 increase in property values. So I think you can get into this virtuous cycle if you do a good job with placemaking where you're attracting talented workers, they're helping the business community, and everybody wins. Thank you.
Claudette Reed, same question for you on the most important economic development issue facing Portage, and what do you propose to address it?
I agree that the biggest issue is high-paying jobs. And what is going on related to that, Portage is not going to make jobs for people unless you happen to be a fireman or a policeman. But what we're looking at is a change in the way that business works. Manufacturers are using advanced manufacturing so that they're able to do more production with fewer people, but they require a higher level of skill, both skilled trades and education. Looking at retail, people are buying more and more from the internet rather than going to bricks and mortar. We're changing the way that we do these things. So Portage needs to work with other partners, such as the public schools, such as the other educational entities that we have within the general community, to be able to provide the kinds of preparation so people can handle the jobs that are available. And also, we need to be looking at how can we reuse the bricks and mortar that we have with retail in various different ways. And some of those have already been mentioned.
Thank you. And Terry Urban, same question for you. The most important economic development issue facing Portage, and what do you propose to address it?
Economic development and growth is only partially in the control of the city council and the city administration. We need to make the city a place where people want to invest to do business and also where they want to live, and we've done a pretty good job of that. The issue coming forward, as people have said, is the changing way that people buy their goods over the internet. And as others stated, we need to help our businesses and our business community and our property transform into businesses that can't do that, whether it be immediate need, custom goods, or higher quality goods that people want to get their hands on. Before the 2008 recession, we actually had a plan in place, and we had a developer with a plan coming forward for retail on the bottom and residential above. With the recession that hit, that plan went away. We still have that tool in our toolbox that we can move forward with some mixed-use zoning, and I look forward to the continued recovery to help us use that.
Thank you. We'll move on now to a question from the audience, and we'll begin with the candidates for mayor, Patricia Randall. This person wants to know if you have ever worked in your campaign with a registered lobbyist.
This sounds like a personal question, but I'm not ashamed. 8 years ago, when I first ran, I was challenged by the county. When I went to get my refund check, she said, "Hey, what are you going to do for other people? You won your private tax case. What are you going to do from there?" Bill Johnston was my high school principal, my softball coach, and a personal friend. And I went to him and I said, "How do I begin a campaign?" And he's a man of great resources, and he said, "I have some friends." Ron Kitchens was one of my friends. Ron introduced me to a gentleman called Chuck Perricone. He used to be the former Speaker of the House. He is a personal friend, and he has given me advice. I have taken advice from many people. I mean, that's the way that people, you know, if you don't know how to do something, you go to people that know how to do it, and that's how I did it.
Nasim Ansari, same question for you. Have you ever worked in your campaign with a registered lobbyist?
No.
Move on to the candidates for Portage City Council. We'll start with Tim Earle.
No, I'll be a little longer than Nasim, though. I mean, City Council is nonpartisan. I think it should be that way. We should be independent, no lobbyists, no PACs, no voting blocks. You know, we should each be here on our own merits. Nobody else's. Patricia talked about advice, though. I think we all do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I've certainly talked to some state level politicians, just ask them how they run campaigns. But lobbyists, no.
Chris Burns.
Yeah. So I'm a first time candidate, and if I did interact with a lobbyist, they didn't identify themselves as such. I don't know if it's like the police where they have to tell you, but I guess I'll find that out. But the answer is no, but I don't know how problematic I find that personally as a candidate. If you're getting advice from someone who's got some experience, doesn't seem particularly problematic to me, but maybe I'm not thinking through everything. Thanks.
Claudette Reed, same question for you. Have you ever worked in your campaign with a registered lobbyist?
I am an occupational therapist. I have worked with and been part of local, state, and national occupational therapy association. And as part of that, I've worked with lobbyists for the Michigan OT Association. And so I understand how they work and the benefits that they can bring. I have never worked with a lobbyist in the role of my campaign for city council.
Terry Urban.
This is my seventh campaign, and the answer is no. The answer is also that this, in spite of what I expected, is the first campaign that I've ever taken a campaign contribution. Previous six have been self-funded. I believe that at this level of government, that's an appropriate thing to do. This year, I was offered, even though I said I wasn't taking campaign contributions, a contribution from the Greater Kalamazoo Association of Realtors, about as apolitical and diffuse group as you can get. I decided to go ahead and take that contribution to help with the increased costs of postage and printing as things went up, and frankly, as the armament war has happened here in the Portage campaigns. Thank you.
Lori Knapp, same question for you. Have you ever worked in your campaign with a registered lobbyist?
No, personally, I haven't. I think Chris Burns made some interesting points about how he feels personally, and I sort of follow his thoughts as well. I think in this day and age, even at the municipal level, things are just getting a bit more complicated, and they're getting a bit more expensive. And I think to seek advice from people who are in the know and who have had experience may not be such a bad thing. Thank you.
Well, we began our forum tonight with a discussion on the consolidated dispatch method of payment. Back in the spring, the Citizens Research Council of Michigan issued a report that suggested that money could be saved and services actually improved if more services were delivered at the county level. Of course, this would require local governments getting together and agreeing to do that. We'll start off here on this round of questioning with the mayoral candidates and Nasim Ansari. Would you be willing to consider services being delivered at the county level, perhaps through some intergovernmental agreements? And are there certain services that you would have in mind for doing that?
You know, I do support intergovernmental cooperation. But as far as the consolidation is concerned, we have to do research on that. We have to see what the tax, how the taxpayers are going to benefit from that consolidation. There may be certain areas where consolidation or we can work together at the county level. For instance, I mentioned last time, you know, about purchasing. You know, we could do that. You know, a joint program with other communities. We can work with those. And that's where I stand on that. Thank you.
Patricia Randall.
I certainly have a lot of pride in being a Portage citizen, and I know a lot of Portage people feel the same way. However, I don't really feel that Kilgore has to be the dividing line when it comes to saving money. I have family, I have friends, both sides of the issue, both sides of Kilgore, and I really think that there are ways that we can work together. Bobby Hopewell is a personal friend of mine. We talk about things from time to time. This council had sat through probably 7 years ago, an articulate program about combining assessing for the region. Assessing laws are set by the state. There is no reason why we can't have a unified assessing department. It isn't different from city to city, or it shouldn't be. Another area would be purchasing. In bulk, we could probably get better prices. And we can pass that on down to the citizens. I also think inspectors for our building trades, for electrical, plumbing, and whatnot, is the dip in 05, 08, when there was less building, we had to lay people off.
Chris Burns, question for you on consolidating services at the county level and perhaps intergovernmental agreements.
Thank you. Yes. So I think our duty as city council members is to try to deliver to our citizens the most efficient government services. And if that means we're consolidating them at the county level, well, then I'm all for that. And I'm actually a bit of a nerd, so I read the report, the Citizens Research Council report that you're suggesting, and some of the things that they mentioned are more administrative in nature, so accounting services, you know, potentially assessing services, and certainly purchasing, there's a big opportunity there. So I was recently reading some reports about communities that have sort of banded together to purchase their utilities, and specifically energy. In Massachusetts, there's 23 smaller municipalities that banded together. I think they did the same thing in Illinois. And they were able to purchase their energy at about a fraction of the cost, at about half the cost of what they were doing before. So if greater scale allows for greater efficiencies, certainly we want to be thoughtful, but I'm for that for the citizens of Portage. Thank you.
Claudette Reed, same question on possible consolidation of services.
I think we have to look at the fact that we do have quite a bit of consolidation already going on. Consolidated dispatch is one of those. Transit is one. We have the KCTA and CCTA for the demand service as well as the line haul buses. Public Media Network is the cable access that is a consortium of six different municipalities coming together. So we've already done this quite a bit. I think that there's more opportunities there. Things that make sense in the parks, having reciprocity for different parks between the various entities. Building inspection is something that a group of municipalities, Portage was not one of them, did band together. That has had some hiccups, and they've had some difficulty with it. Consolidation isn't always a real smooth thing. I think the two things I would be reluctant to consolidate would be police and fire.
Terry Urban, same question for you on possible consolidation of government services.
As others have mentioned, the first success in that was public transit, and I helped initiate that in 2002, and we only finally accomplished that in 2016, so it takes a long time. Consolidated dispatch is going forward, and I believe that will be success. Other people have mentioned things. Purchasing, we've actually looked at a number of times, and every time we look at it, there are issues with the way we purchase and the way that other municipalities purchase that just do not offer advantages to us. The other thing that becomes an issue is the vast difference in the tax rates between townships and the cities and the different laws that townships work under. So it becomes a little bit of difficult coming up with an equitable way to consolidate those things. Again, I'd be reluctant on police and fire because of our quality service here, too.
Thank you. Lori Knapp, same question for you on possible consolidation of local government services.
I think everyone's answers have been pretty well thought out and thorough, and it's getting kind of hard to be original in determining just what might be good examples of additional collaboration and consolidation. But I'll just sum it up like this. As I think I mentioned before when we talked about the 911 dispatch, I think it's a good idea. And I think where we can make that effort, where we can get collaboration, consolidation, where we can streamline duplication, it would allow for ease of use, for economic efficiency, and that benefits everybody. I think with all of the spillover effect, with all of our communities so close together and working together economically, people live in one place, work in another place, it's not without challenges. As Terry Urban mentioned, you know, there are different economic factors involved, but I think where we can, we need to work at making things as efficient as we can in this larger region. Thank you.
And Tim Earle, same question for you on possible consolidation of local government services.
So as everyone else said, some places we can, some places we can't. Assessing's probably a good example of we can. Inspectors actually interfaces with my day job as someone who actually writes the codes used around the country. So I can tell you that one would be really hard because different municipalities use different codes. Codes are complicated. My ability to interpret them is going to help put my kids through college. So we need... We'd watch out for that. Police and fire, obviously, probably not, although there are some things I think we can look at. For instance, I'm not convinced that we and Kalamazoo, for instance, you know, both need armored vehicles for our police departments. You know, things like equipment like that for a mass casualty that if we've each got one at the same time, we've got bigger problems. I don't know why we need to spend money on duplicating some of that equipment. But in any consolidation, we need to worry about what we're paying into it, because Portage is often asked to contribute more than other communities because of our tax base. So we need to be careful. Thank you.
Next question comes from the Institute of Government and Politics. Kalamazoo County recently launched a program to issue county identification cards to residents who can't obtain state ID cards. Was this a good idea or a bad idea, and why? We'll start with the candidates for mayor, and Patricia Randall goes first on this one.
I am very much an advocate for county ID programs. At the time that we were discussing this, the room was packed with people that were very passionate about it. And we had a thing in the lobby with a dog, and all the dogs needed to be ID'd in our community. And I thought how sad it is that we are arguing over the fact about giving people ID. People need this for jobs. They need it for travel. Our police and our fire department said it's easier to work with people when they have some type of identification. My family comes from a long line of social justice issues. We have sponsored international children that have come up here without IDs but do have family here waiting for them. I have three international adopted nieces and nephews. I think that we can embrace all of our differences, and I think a county ID is the first start.
Nasim Ansari.
Well, so it is a good idea to have an ID. When I was a county commissioner, you know, I served on Michigan Works Board. At that time, you know, we were talking about IDs because there were people who were coming out of jail, but because they did not have ID, they could not even get a job, or they couldn't travel without a license. So those IDs are important for everyone, so I do support. But as far as license, this is the state issue. It should be decided at that level. Thank you.
I'll move on to the candidates for Portage City Council. We'll start with Claudette Reed on this same question regarding the county ID program. Good idea, bad idea, and why?
I think the idea of having an ID program is extremely important. The example that really sort of threw it for me was people who are coming out of prison and they don't have an ID, and the Department of Corrections was not willing to provide them an ID. And I thought, gosh, if you've had them in prison for how long and you're not really sure who they are, they should be able to have an ID when they get out. And so having an ID is important. Now, is it appropriate to do it at the county level? I was supportive of the motion and did support that, but it really should be at the state level, because if somebody has an ID for the county of Kalamazoo and they go up north, is that going to be recognized by others? Probably not. And so it really should be at the state level. Hopefully action taken at the county is going to push to have something happen at the state. Thank you.
Terry Urban, same question on Kalamazoo County's ID program. Do you think it's a good idea, and why?
As that came before us and I researched it a little, it's amazing how difficult it is to gain the number of points to obtain a state ID. If you don't have one already, getting one is pretty tough. What the county ID does is provide a bridge, provide something for local folks that have that difficulty and are working through that process to use to get a job, to identify themselves to police, to identify themselves to others, for instance, to get services from Loaves and Fishes to distribute food that I help with. We have to look at an ID, a government-issued ID, to see who they are. And so having one at the county level as a bridge to those 8, 10, 12, 14, 18 months it takes to collect all the documents to get a state ID, I think is a very good use of our funds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lori Knapp, same question for you on Kalamazoo County's ID program. Do you think it's a good idea and why?
I don't really see a downside to a county-issued ID at this point. As has been mentioned already, public safety identification, how important is that? Social services, my years of experience at Portage Community Center on the board and actively volunteering, you can't go in there and receive any of the services without any identification. That's food bank, that's clothes, that's going to health services down in the lower level. It's a matter of dignity, and it's a matter of pride and priority. It's an interesting conversation to determine whether it should be done at the state level or here at the county level. But gosh, this is a really good start, and I would embrace this. And if it happens at the state level, that's great, because I understand the uniformity throughout the state itself. But I'm glad to have it at the county level.
Tim Merle, same question on Kalamazoo County's identification card program.
So I think we've got a lot of consensus here. It was a good idea above our pay grade at the county level, but I really do think it was the right call. That's what local government is for. It's to fill the void when the federal or the state government has left a gap. And in this case, it was a gap. As Terry said, it's hard to get the state ID for some people. If you don't have a car, you don't drive, you're not going to have a driver's license, there's more hoops to jump through. So this gives them the ability to do that. And hopefully, I think that's worth more points to then help them get a state ID eventually, because we actually are all going to need new driver's license to be able to fly next year. There's a frequent flyer, if you didn't know that. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
And Chris Burns, same question on Kalamazoo County's ID program. Do you think it's a good idea, and can you tell us why or why not?
Sure, yeah. So to give you some context for my opinion on this issue, you should know that I grew up in sort of an economically disadvantaged family, single parent, working two jobs, kind of tough upbringing. And so I've got an eye always on those kind of systemic issues that I think are keeping people away from reaching their full potential in our society. And I think government issue ID is one of those issues. So when this issue came up at the county level, I actually volunteered my services. You know, I'm a nerd, I'm a bean counter, I'm a CPA. So when the task force needed some assistance putting together a budget, I actually was lended a hand and helped to do that. And I'm really rooting for a very successful program. So I hope you all consider getting an ID yourselves or talking with business owners about being an advocate for that program, because I do think it gives our residents who are often in a vulnerable position coming out, you know, transient, or they're coming back from prison, a chance to get reintegrated in society and enjoy the benefits that we all take for granted. Thank you.
So this is our last question of the night. So, again, candidates, you will have an additional 30 seconds here. You have a minute and a half that's yours to use as you see fit. We'll begin with the candidates for mayor. And on this one, Nasim Ansari will go first. All of you have at some point tonight told us why you moved to Portage. Can you tell us what you think might cause someone to not move here or perhaps to leave Portage? And what do you think the city council should do to address that? Nasim Ansari, first, you have 90 seconds.
I came to Portage 40 years ago, and I consider myself blessed to be living in the city of Portage. What I have seen this, I cannot think of anything that would keep people away from Portage or would discourage people from coming to Portage. And having said that, you know, if I could go and finish my closing statement here. Serving members of the community is one of the greatest pleasures of this job, a team effort that has resulted in many achievements that I'm proud to recall as Mayor Pro Tem. I led the team effort and was involved in creating a transparent budget process, one that citizens deserve and one that involves no increase in millage. We saw duplicate departments reduced, enhanced automation so that money could be saved, passing on savings to you. With the goal of better life of your families in mind, entertainment and recreation programs, we brought back strong focus on public safety and was made, and also worked on lowering water bills. I'm committed to lower taxes, quality economic growth, lowering water rates, clean environment, public safety, and transparent line of communication with you. I pledge you more of the same with even greater leadership than I have served you with then and ever before. Thank you.
Patricia Randall, why do you think someone would not want to move to Portage or perhaps would consider leaving Portage? And what do you think city government, specifically the city council and the mayor, can do about that?
My family was part of the Upjohn family that was relocated to Stockholm, Sweden. Then we went to New Jersey, and we opted to come back and raise our children in the Portage area. Having said that, my three millennials, 26, 27, and 28, do not live in Portage. They do not live in Kalamazoo County. Why would people not be here? Several of my friends, either they or their husband, have lost high-paying jobs. And we don't really have a network where you can go within 40 miles and replace some of those jobs. When you live on the East Coast, if you get fired from one pharmaceutical company, you can go to 10 others. And we don't have that. My children, one of them lives in Colorado. He loves mountains. We don't have those here. Timber Ridge is something he learned to ski in Sweden, so when we took him to Timber Ridge, they kind of laughed. So it's about placemaking for our millennials. Two of my sons do not own cars. They like to be green, and they want to use public transit to get around. So, I mean, I'm happy we're here, and I'm happy when they return, but they have found great places to live. My vision as a leader for this city is to make Portage a glowing example of what good governance is about. The city has changed since I've been on, and I'm very proud of the changes. To me, leadership is having a vision, setting goals, building consensus, and truly leading. Thank you.
So now we'll hear from the candidates for Portage City Council. Again, now we'll start with Terry Urban on this one. Why would someone not locate in Portage or perhaps move out of Portage? And what do you think the city council should do about it?
The history of Portage is difficult in order to help retain the millennials, as Mrs. Randall spoke about. We began as a bedroom low-tax community for Kalamazoo. When we became a city, we had that spread out development, that spread out retail center. And now Texas Township and Oshtemo are becoming what we were to Kalamazoo. They're becoming to us, where people can go out and get their mini estate with low taxes and, frankly, lower services. And if that's what some people are choosing to do. What can we do about it? We can try to make Portage as attractive as we can with the mixed-use zoning and other things. It's very difficult. We are not downtown Kalamazoo. We are not going to have the kind of intense, dense restaurants and walkable entertainment. We're going to have to find some other creative ways to do it. I'm glad I moved here in 1980. I'm glad I started raising my family here in 2005. I have never envisioned going anywhere else, and I look forward to hopefully continuing to serve you on the Portage City Council.
Lori Knapp, same question for you. Why would someone not move to Portage or perhaps leave Portage, and what do you think the City Council should do about it?
My family and I moved here almost 20 years ago now, and we moved from a really big city. And moving to what is essentially a suburban community was a huge change for us. And it took a while to adapt, but we grew to love it. And we love it because it's a great place to raise a family. We have lots of great parks. We have lots of great neighborhoods, interesting things to do. You're close to Chicago. You're close to Detroit. It's all good. Through job changes, through life changes, we've chosen to remain here. And my son is off at college, and this is still his home base. I'm committed to this community, and I'm committed to making this community thriving, sustainable, and attractive in the future. And that means not just for people like me and people like you who are already here, but people who we need to attract to keep this community thriving. There are things that I think missing. I think there are, like has been mentioned, walkability and millennial attracting qualities, mixed use residential, commercial, areas that invite community engagement. I think the city can do a better job at reaching out to its citizens to build sense of community, to let people know what's going on, build community events, community awareness, and make us feel like we're really a part of something. That's what a lot of people are working for now.
Tim Earle, same question for you. Why would someone not locate in Portage or move out of Portage? What should the city council do about it?
Right. So I moved here 11 years ago, and it was a pretty traumatic move for us from San Francisco, and prior to that, San Diego and Detroit. So completely different area. And when I was working Kalamazoo at the time, we chose Portage over Kalamazoo, despite the promise, which was new then. And that's one reason why people might, who are staying local, not choose Portage. We can just remind them of our lower taxes and our top-notch schools to keep them here. Terry's right about Texas Township, you know, kind of becoming what Portage was before. I live just off 12th Street. It was tempting. The taxes are about half of what I pay now. But I look across 12th Street, and it's like an ice rink in the winter because they don't get snow plowing, among other things. So, yeah, you do get what you pay for a little bit. But if we can't take care of our retail sector, many of us have said tonight, people won't want to move here if there's tumbleweeds rolling down West Edge. So we need to invest in our infrastructure, keep our businesses here to keep this an attractive place to live. Moving on to why me with my last 30 seconds. I'm an independent thinker who will bring a wealth of experience the council doesn't currently have. In the military, as Lieutenant Commander Earl 14 years ago, I was the chief engineer of a destroyer, you know, in a combat zone. It's very hard to stress me out on anything. Nothing is going to be as stressful as that to me. I've been in industry, and now I'm a consultant who works in public safety. My life has been about service. My kids are 9 and 12, so we're not going anywhere anytime soon, and I want to continue to serve this city. Thank you.
Chris Burns, same question for you. Why would someone not locate in Portage, or why might they leave? What should the city council do about it?
Great. Yeah, thanks for the question. So I was born and raised in Portage, and my wife and I moved back here about 4 years ago from Chicago, and we plan to be here a really long time. We hope to retire and live here for the rest of our lives. But sadly, I do see some of my young colleagues leaving. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of them this week, losing two Portage voters, probable Portage voters, because they're moving to Kalamazoo for the promise. And people are laughing behind me. And so why do I see people leaving? It's for the promise. It's because they don't feel they've got a cultural connection to our community, or it's for employment or recreation opportunities. So I wonder to myself, are we using all of our assets, existing infrastructure, as well as we could be using it? The Parks Department, I think, does a wonderful job in Portage, but I think for several years running, I actually love this concert, but my younger colleagues don't agree with me maybe, the Glenn Miller Band has come to the Portage band shell, right? And I wonder if we couldn't do a concert series or at least a few events that are tailored a little bit more towards our younger residents. So there is a little bit more happening in Portage. I also wonder whether we're using our aquatic resources as well as we could. I know a lot of younger people love getting out there on the lakes, boating, kayaking, that kind of thing. Are we doing enough with what we can do there? But, you know, I really love this community, and I hope I'll get your vote this November. When you love something, you want to fight for it, you want to advocate for it, and you want to be in a position to help it succeed. So I hope I have your vote in November to do that. Thank you.
Claudette Reed.
I think the main reason why people would leave Portage is related to jobs. And I know that that's why my three daughters moved away from Portage. They needed to be able to get jobs, and there were not the opportunities that they wanted in this area. So we really need to be looking at that. There was a recent study about millennials, and everybody is concerned about how are we going to attract millennials. But what's happening is millennials are starting to buy houses, and they are starting to do that in suburban areas, not in urban areas and downtown. And part of the reason for that is while generally, and I know I'm making big generalizations, but that they tend to have children later, but when they start having children, they want familiarity. And I think that Portage has that. So we are structured very well to be able to deal with the fact that while people have left to get started with things, they may very well be coming back. We have excellent schools, and that is a very important part part of coming back into the area. We have parks and preserves and trails that are something that are very attractive for that group. And so I think that we do have better concerts. There was one at the Eliason Preserve that is not the Glenn Miller Band. And so, you know, we're starting to get some of those kinds of things. We really do have something for the millennials, and I believe that they will be coming back.
Candidates, thank you very much. Remember, the election is November 7th. You'll be electing a mayor and three members to the city council. Thank you for attending tonight. Thank you very much for contributing your questions.
You've been listening to a forum for candidates running for mayor and city council in Portage, recorded last Wednesday at the Portage District Library. Join us next Monday to hear from the candidates for mayor and city commission in Kalamazoo.